All right, good morning, everyone. I want to greet everyone in the name of Jesus this morning. It is a great joy and delight to be able to worship our great God together. He is worthy of our praises. I perceive that the Myerstown Church is busy and that there is much going on, and so I commend you for that, building God's kingdom. And keep up the work of that in your life. I believe the song we just sang is becoming one of our anthems of the church. Our God, He is alive. And I trust that that is not just a song you know, not just something that comes off of your lips every once in a while, but that it is a reality in your heart, that God is alive in you. I want to tell you this morning that God wants to be alive in your heart. He wants to be alive in your life. He wants to mold you. He wants to change you. He wants to make you a dynamic person in Himself, someone that He can use in the building of the kingdom of God, somebody who can be, He wants to make you a part of the solution in this world. You all recognize the world's a mess. We live in a world that is a disaster, and it's getting worse every day. You carry with you the solution that this world needs. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the gospel of Jesus, and you are the representative of Him as you go forth every day of your life. And so carry Him with you and share Him with those that are around you. I invite you to turn in your Bible to John 15 this morning. We're going to look at the beginning of this chapter. And if you know your Bible, which you certainly ought to, it's not a mysterious book. It's not out of touch. It's not beyond your reach. You've got one. You ought to know it. You know, we live in a world of professionals. You want to know something, you consult the professionals or the people that know. Everybody has their area of expertise. And every child of God, this ought to be their area of expertise. You are a professional in the things of God. Professional in the Word of God. You know it. You can share it. You can speak intelligently about it because it has impacted your life and you have it's very important to you. So be a professional in the things of the Lord as comes from His Word. Well, let's look at John 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So we have here what is called an analogy, or an illustration, or an example. And Jesus is making it clear that the Christian needs to have a relationship. Okay. It is a relationship of connection, a relationship of belonging, that we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And He expresses it in this way. He says, I am the true vine. And then He goes on to say that we are branches. So He is talking about a relationship. He is talking about our personal relationship with Him. He's talking about a vital, life-giving connection. Now, if you were to describe to us this morning, if you were to stand up here and describe, what is your relationship like with the Lord Jesus Christ? You would say, my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is this, and you would go on to describe it. What would you say? Well, I think about him for a few minutes on Sunday morning. The preacher preaches about him. What would you say? Would you say that my life is just attached to Jesus Christ in such a way that I get my life from him? In fact, my life is in him. And without him, I have no life. There is nothing to life. There's no purpose to life. I just don't have any life without Jesus. Jesus is all to me. Now, is that how you would describe your relationship with Jesus? Or would it be something less than that? Something not quite that meaningful or fulfilling? How is your relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? You ought to be able to say, as a Christian, that my life is bound up in my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to be able to say. Now, the world around us, and we just had an illustration of that, saying there is no God, how ridiculous. Who knows that? Well, if they do know that, they know a lie, okay? You want to fill your life with untruth? Well, just say there's no God. You prove yourself to be a fool. And how about saying those people aren't Christians? Well, how do they know that? People say things all the time, and you know what? Our social media gave people opportunity to say the most ridiculous things and to vent their opinions, and there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. I was just talking to a man this past week. I was talking to an Amish man. This Amish man, he was the real thing, okay? He was a Christian. And I said to my children, I went and bought a little rototiller off of him. I said to my children on the way down, I had my two boys with me, I said, you know what? I don't know anything about this man except that he is a humble man. Because I talked to him on the phone two times, and both times I talked to him on the phone, he just came across as a humble man. And so I said, I don't know anything about him except he's a humble man. I pulled in the driveway, and here the people are Amish. And so we got to talking about various things, and he goes down to a market in Philadelphia, and he says, it doesn't take long before you know whether somebody's a Christian or not. Even these old ladies that come around there, they're just city people, but they come around, and it's not long until you know that they're a Christian by the way they talk, by the way they act, by who they are, by their character, their integrity, whatever. You know that they're Christians. And that's how it ought to be for all of us. We ought to be the kind of people that are obviously the people of God. And so I was talking to this man. I was saying, don't you sometimes wish that you could communicate to all the world what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? And we look at shootings. We look at catastrophes. We look at disasters that happen in the world. And we look at the moral climate of this society. And we look at what happened down in Dallas just this past week. And we couldn't we just somehow communicate to people the bliss and the blessedness of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? If only they would know him, they wouldn't be rioting. They wouldn't be shooting at police officers. In fact, if everybody knew the Lord, we wouldn't even need police officers. Except for those of us that speed. Okay, we need that. But if only we could communicate. And the people that don't believe in God, what benefit? I ask you, what benefit do they get out of not believing in God? There's no benefit there. There's no advantage. There is no profit in saying, I don't believe in God. There really won't be any profit the second after they go into eternity. There will be no profit in being an atheist. But people of God here this morning, I hope that your Christian life has enough reality in it so that you would wish your life on everyone. That's how it ought to be. To be honest with you this morning, I don't say this with any pride of my own. I say this is purely because of the grace of God in my life, but I wish my life on everyone. It's not always easy. It's not perfect. My machinery breaks down, like my children will tell you. Yeah, we work hard. Things aren't always easy for us. But I tell you what, the reality of Jesus Christ in my heart, I wish it on anyone and everyone. Is that the reality of your Christian life? Do you live in a kind of a relationship with Jesus Christ that you would say, I wish my life on them? Just so we don't get their life in return, okay? You don't want their life. But you should be willing to say, you know what? My life is such a blessed experience, I wish it on anyone. It's the reality of Christ. It's the reality of your relationship with him. What Jesus says, he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. He could not have made it more clear. Connecting yourself to anyone else or anything else is fastening yourself to something that's dead, okay? Anything other than Christ. People fasten themselves to all kinds of things. This society loves sports. This society loves money. This society loves materialism. People connect themselves to all kinds of things that are dead. But Jesus Christ is alive. When you connect yourself to Jesus Christ, you are connected to what brings life into you. But many times, we neglect. We neglect our relationship with Jesus in preference of something else. I'll tell you what, you can get all the material things in this world you want. You'll be spiritually dead. You can get all the money you want. You'll be spiritually dead. You can follow your favorite sports team until whatever. You can go after all that stuff. It's dead. But Jesus is alive. He is the true vine. Everything else is false. Everything else is going to lead to death. Connect yourself to Jesus. There is only one spiritually life-giving connection. And brothers and sisters, what interferes with that relationship? What interferes with it? Is there anything in your life that interferes with that life-giving connection to Jesus Christ? Anything that interferes? I'll tell you what, if there are things that are interfering with our relationship with Jesus Christ, there's only one thing to do with them. Give them the boot. Get them out of your life. You don't need something interfering with your relationship with Jesus. Now, I don't know what that might be. Maybe as you are sitting there in your bench this morning, you can think of something, you know what? That interferes with my relationship with Jesus. If there's anything like that in your life, forget it. Get rid of it. It's not worth it. You don't want something that's going to inhibit you from getting the life that you need in Jesus. You don't want that. You don't want that in your life. You think of all kinds of things that we depend on. We depend on water to drink. How about if something got into your plumbing system in your house that was inhibiting you getting good water to drink? Well, you get Martin's water to come and fix the problem. Or you'd get a plumber out to get rid of the impediment, whatever it might be. You say, we need good water in our house. Okay, you'd fix the problem. How about if your refrigerator breaks down and all the food in your refrigerator starts to spoil? Well, you need food to eat, right? You can't hardly live without it. You can live a few days, but you got to have good food. You know, you open the refrigerator and it's full of, well, I saw a refrigerator like this not too long ago, full of rotting garbage. Okay, I saw a refrigerator like that. But you know, you say something's got to be done about it. We cannot have a refrigerator that is not working properly. We got to have good food to eat. We can't have a bunch of garbage in here. This is no good. We're going to fix it. Well, I'll tell you what, even more than you need water, you know where I'm going, right? Even more than you need food, you need Jesus Christ. And if there's something that's in the way, something that's inhibiting that relationship, you've got to do something about it. Don't let it go on. Don't let it continue to inhibit you. Do something about it. What comes between or violates this relationship? Is there any input into your life that robs you of life in Christ? Any input into your life, be it reading material, be it things that you watch. How about things you listen to? Anything that inhibits needs to be eliminated. Do you know this morning that the devil is the god of this world? The devil is the god of this world. Now let me ask you, how much of the production of this world, I don't know how much to talk about this stuff. I don't know if you people have any problem with this or not, but the things that they produce, the movies they produce, videos they produce, the music they produce, the magazines they produce, the reading material they produce, all the things that they produce, they are produced under the direction of the god of this world. Now, there's some things that are benign. There's some things that are just, you know, kind of neutral, like an owner's manual for your appliances. Or maybe, you know, there's all kinds of things that are just neutral, okay? Actually, things that are neutral are actually holy because they're good, they're right, they're wholesome. There's a lot of things out there that are not wholesome. There's a lot of things that are under the direction of the god of this world, who's the devil. And what does the devil want to do with every person, every man, every woman, every child in this world? He wants to destroy them. He wants to take them into the lake of fire with him. And we, who are God's people, who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we are changed. We've been regenerated. We've been born again. And we feed on the things of the devil. Feeding on the things of the devil. Why would we do that? Something that's going to inhibit your relationship with Jesus Christ. The devil wants to interfere with this relationship in whatever way he can. We must not let him do it. His vine, the vine of Satan, is false. It is empty. It is spiritually destructive. And there are some things that he wants to do with you. You know what sin does to people? Sin blinds them. Sin will blind you. And after that, sin will bind you. We know that sin, it doesn't matter what the sin is, any sin will bring people into bondage. Any sin. We might say, well, that's not a very big sin. It will bind you, no matter what it is. And then he wants to consign you to the lake of fire with himself. That's what the devil wants to do. But Jesus is the true vine. He has life, spiritual life flowing from him into you. And so, Jesus is the true vine. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now that is very sobering. A branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. This apparently defines the purpose of a branch. The purpose of a branch is to bear fruit. And if it doesn't, it's not worth having. Now, you might be here today, and you might be a pretty branch. And actually, in the springtime, we drive around, the month of April, the month of May. That's a lovely tree. Look at the beautiful flowers on that tree. Oh, that's just beautiful. The trees are very pretty. And maybe you're here today, and you're thinking, well, you know, if nothing else, at least I'm a pretty branch. That's not the purpose of a branch. You might be a very handsome branch. You might be a nice-looking branch. But that's not the purpose of a branch. Pretty branch, yes. How about a talented branch? Maybe you can sing better than everybody else. Maybe you can lay carpet better than anyone else. Maybe you can, whatever you can do it better than anyone else. You're a talented branch. And look at me, I'm a talented branch. Look at the talents I have. It's not the purpose of a branch. A branch, the purpose is to bear fruit. Not to be talented, not to be pretty. How about being well-liked? A well-liked branch. Maybe you're a highly respected branch. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I am a wealthy branch. I got lots of material resource. That is not the purpose of a branch either. How about a hardworking branch? And the list could go on what kind of branch you might be, but if you are not a fruitful branch, by Christ's definition, you are dysfunctional and worthy of disposal. That's what Jesus says. He says, if you're not bearing fruit, you are fit to be disposed of. And so we must be sure, Christians here today, we must be sure that we are fruitful branches by Christ's definition. Well, Christ says several important things here about the fruitful branch. First of all, he purges it. Purging is painful modification. It is the removal of extra wood. so that the energies of the plant can be put into fewer but higher quality fruits. I don't know how your life is here today. I don't know if you have extra wood in your life. Extra wood. That means something that is draining your resources. Something that is draining your resources into something that is not fruit producing. But if you have extra wood, extra growth, extra areas of interest, whatever it might be, sapping your energies, maybe it needs to be pruned off of your life. Are you willing? Are you willing to have the Lord prune your life? Pruning is not pleasant. Pruning is painful. I get out there in the month of January and February, March, start pruning those trees of mine, and you know what? It looks like you're butchering the thing. It just looks painful. You take that lopping shears and you have a nice branch growing here. Well, that one doesn't belong. You just lop that thing right off. It lays on the ground. It's done for. It looks painful. And sometimes after it's all done, it looks like you really butchered that tree up. But it's all for the best. And that's how it is in your life. You might have areas in your life need to be pruned off. Man, that's painful. Those are things that I like. Those are things that I love. Those are things that I've invested in. And God is saying, you know what? That's fruitless wood. You've got to get rid of it. Cut that off. Has the Lord pruned you lately? Are you open to pruning? Are you willing to let Him prune you? Are you coming before the Lord with an open mind and open heart and saying, Lord, I want to be the person you want me to be. I want to be fruitful. I want to be productive. I want to be useful. So what do you need to do with me? What do you need to do to prune my life to make me a productive branch? We need to be willing to let Him do it. We need to be willing to let Him prune and modify us. Well, the purpose of a branch is to bear fruit. Let the Lord prune you as needed. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. A branch is not a self-contained organism of life. It is a totally dependent extension of the main vine or trunk. We had a lot of wind a few weeks ago in our little apple orchard. And what happened was, I had the trees tied to posts. And I thought, well, you know, that should do it. No problems anymore. But what happened was, the wind was strong enough so that the canopy of the tree got enough leverage against it so that the bottom of the tree actually busted off down here while it was actually pivoting on the post where I had it tied on. It was a very strong wind. I don't know how strong the wind had to be to do it. But I tell you what happened since then. The apples are continuing to grow on those trees. The leaves continue to be green on those trees. Is that how it is? As soon as those trees snapped off from their roots, they were done. They're all brown. That happened maybe 2 weeks ago. The leaves are all brown. And the fruit is, I haven't actually looked at it, but I'm sure they're all shriveling up. No connection there. When the connection is severed, it is done. There is no life there. Jesus says, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. There is no way you can be a fruitful Christian or fruitful person in the kingdom of God unless you have that relationship or that connection with Jesus. Totally dependent. Our fruitfulness is totally dependent on our connection to the main vine or trunk. We can do good things. We can do good works. We can look very spiritual, but Jesus talked about people that have the right look about them. Matthew 7, 15 to 23. If you want to turn there, you may. Matthew 7, 15 to 23, it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing." Now, we all understand that sheep look like sheep. And you are a sheep here today. If you're a child of God, you're a sheep. You ought to resemble a sheep. But there are even people out there in the world today that can be a wolf. And they look like a sheep. And so hopefully nobody here today is just looking like a sheep and actually they're a wolf. That would be a terrible spiritual tragedy. They shall come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their what? You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What an awful realization, brothers and sisters. Does this grip your heart? Does this impact your mind? Look, you can be doing the right things. You can be saying the right things. You can be looking the right way. You can be perceived by everyone else as being a spiritual person doing the work of God. And yet when you stand before God, he says, depart from me. I don't know you. I mean, that's serious. Now, what was it that disqualified these people? Why were they able to do all these works and yet be disqualified in the end? It's because they did not do the will of their Father. They did not do the will of God. They did their thing. They did spiritual things. They did religious things. They weren't doing the will of God. They were wolves in sheep's clothes. And so what qualifies you? What kind of fruit is God looking for from your life? He is looking for people who are going to simply say, God, I will do your will. I will obey you. It's not my agenda. It's not my program. It's not what I want, but it's what you want. That is the distinguishing feature of a true child of God. My will is to do his will. You understand that? Does that make sense to us? That is what Jesus is saying in this passage of Scripture. The good that a person does can be discounted and found to be as nothing. Jesus makes it clear, not the spiritually fantastic, nor the overtly religious impress God, but those who quietly, simply, consistently do the will of God. Immediately following this stern warning, you know what comes next in your Bible? Immediately after this stern warning is the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. And what is the foundation? What is the solid rock? The solid rock is hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. That's the solid foundation. It's the foundation that keeps your house standing in this life and also in the next. The fruit of a true Christian is a life lived in obedience to the Word of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ. This can only be accomplished. You might say, well, I'm going to leave church today and I'm going to start obeying the Lord. It can only be accomplished in a close and meaningful walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, accompanied by the power of His Holy Spirit. You know, people can try to reform themselves. They can try to do better. They can try to be a good person. But I tell you what, if a person does not have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in their life, it's not possible. It can't be done. But I tell you what, if you do have the Holy Spirit, listen, it can be done. And there are many individuals that are doing it. They're living in obedience to God. They're doing His commands because they're empowered by His Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God in you empowers you to do the will of God. It can be done. Depend on that Spirit. And is it okay every morning to pray, God, today, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. Enable me by your grace to live and walk in obedience. It is appropriate to pray for that every day. Anyway, this person that is connected to Jesus bears much fruit. This reminds me of the words of Jesus in John 7:38. He says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Does that sound fruitful? Rivers of living water. That's not just a little trickle. That's not just a few drops. A river. I don't know how you view yourself. I don't think I go around all day long producing a river of living water. I just don't think I do. It doesn't seem that way. You know, you're out there doing the thing you got to do, and you're slaving away, you're working, whatever. It might not seem that way. But we carry in us the potential of doing great things for God. We really do. This person, so closely related to Jesus, will be a source of life, a source of help, a source of love, a source of light, a source of healing in a dark, lonesome, helpless, hopeless, dying world. The Christian carries in his bosom to be shared, to be distributed, to be dispensed to others, a great treasure. He will bear much fruit. I said to my daughter a couple weeks ago, they're going to the hospital every day to spend time with their little son, which is my little grandson. But I told her, I said, you carry inside of you into that place of darkness. I say, you carry a treasure. You carry Jesus. You carry the light. I'm not sure exactly what words I used, but you carry into that hospital every day what everybody needs. Everybody in that hospital needs what you've got. You carry it in there every day. And we don't know. Why is little Hans in a little box, in a plastic box in the hospital? I don't know. I don't know why he's there. And we'll probably never know. But there are people in the hospital that need what my daughter and her husband have. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's the purpose. But we won't know that. And as you go through your life, you don't know why. We don't know why. There's something happening in your life today you probably are looking at and you say, I don't know why this is. I just don't know why. But you know what? You carry in yourself the treasure of Christ. And you need to share that. You need to dispense that. You need to let that light shine. You will bear much fruit as you do that. Well, Jesus goes on to say, herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified. Now that is what it's all about, okay? That is what it's all about. You know the Christian life, I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to tell you that it's not about you, right? I don't have to tell you that. You know that, right? The Christian life is not about you. We have such a self-centered Christianity in America today. They like to present it as it's all about you. It's all about what you get out of it. It's all about what you can have in Jesus. Wow, look at the blessings. He's going to pour out his blessing on you. You're going to be prosperous. You're going to have everything. Baloney. It's about God. It's about his glory. It's about his honor. It's about actually fulfilling the purpose for which you've been created. It's not about what I get out of it, although we do get a lot out of it. It's a blessing to be a Christian. But it's about God's glory. Herein is my Father glorified. That is what it's all about. Fruit glorifies God. This needs to be our chief concern, our goal, and our delight to bring glory and honor to our great God. He is worthy. None is greater than he. He is God alone. I've been listening to a song about that lately, a beautiful song. God alone. There is no other. Not only is he exclusively God, that would be enough. He's the only God. You'll understand that. There is no other God but our God. He is the God who has revealed himself in this book. He is the only God. There is no other. All the other gods are imposter gods. They're invented gods. They're false gods. Our God is the true God. Not only is he the true God, but he is a good God besides. I mean, it's just the fact that he's the only God should be enough. Okay, he's the only God to worship, so we'll worship him. But not only that, but he's good. He's a perfect God. He's a holy God. He's a wonderful God. He's rich in mercy and grace. He's perfect in righteousness and judgment. Glorify him by excelling as a fruitful branch. So shall ye be my disciples, he says. This fruit-bearing properly identifies the disciples of Jesus Christ. So shall ye be my disciples. In this passage, there is also a bit of foreboding, and we might have alluded to this a little earlier. But it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. This seems to be a cause for serious concern and soul searching, doesn't it? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That means if you are not fruitful, we should be a little concerned. Boy, I just don't think I'm a very fruitful branch. What's the fruit of my life? Jesus says, if you're not fruitful, you're taken away. Am I functioning the way God intends me to function? If not, why not? What do I need to do about it? It seems that fruit bearing is much associated with obedience. Fruit bearing is associated with obedience. Obedience is brought about by decision. Does it matter if you feel like it? Love your enemies. I don't know if I feel like it. We talked about forgiveness in our Sunday school class this morning. Forgiveness. We need to forgive. Well, I'm not sure I feel like it. There's a lot of things that Jesus commands us to do, the Word of God commands us to do, that we might just not feel like doing. But you know what? Obedience is brought about by decision. You decide. You decide whether you're going to obey or not. So have you decided to just simply obey God? Well, if you didn't decide that today, from now on, you know what? I think I'll obey God. That's a decision you need to make. It is brought about by decision. It is motivated by love. Now, when you're doing something that you have to do, you're being forced to do, it just touches your heart, doesn't it? I just love doing things I'm forced to do, right? How about daddy standing over you with a club and saying, now you better do this job or else, you know? You're really motivated. You really, really want to do it. No, you don't want to do it. You're being forced to do it. I'll tell you what, the Christian life is not forced. If you feel like you're being forced in the Christian life, then I honestly wonder if you really have a Christian life, okay? I don't want to make you lost if you're saved here today, but I tell you what, we are not motivated by fear and force. We're motivated by love. We've been redeemed. We've been saved. The Lord has poured out his grace and mercy and love upon you in such a way that you are saying, God, I'm so grateful. I can hardly believe that you would ever do this for me. Just a lowly sinner, I'm so unworthy, and you've saved me. I tell you what, do we really know what the Lord has done for us? I tell you what, if we have any idea, if we even have a one-tenth of a percent of knowledge of what the Lord has done, we're going to say, God, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I love you, God, and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to obey you out of love. I tell you, it's motivated by love. The Christian life is motivated by love. And if you feel like you're being forced to do the things you do, I don't know. You start trying to wrap your mind around what God has done for you, and maybe it'll change your mind a little bit, change your heart. We're motivated by love to do what we do. And so, I'll hasten on here, but motivated by love, and then it's also empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be bearing fruit. Now let's see, where am I at here? If a man abide not in me, we're talking about that. The person who does not abide in Christ, it is a person's choice. A person's choice is to abide not in Christ. A person can check themselves out of the hospital against medical advice. Okay, and I just heard of a man that did that the other day. He just said, you know what? You can't make me stay here. I don't want to be here. I'm leaving, okay, against medical advice. Okay, he just left the hospital. And you know, you can check yourself out of just about anything in this world. If you don't have enough money, you can even file for bankruptcy. There's things you can get out of just about any trouble you're in. You can find a way out of it. And so, you know, if you don't want to be abiding in Christ, if you don't want to abide in Christ, if you don't want to be in a relationship with him, if the things of the world around you look more attractive than Jesus Christ to you, you can check yourself out. You can say, you know what? I'm not in this anymore. That's your business. If a man does not abide in me, it says, Jesus says, he is cast forth as a branch. He is cut off. He's thrown aside. And it says the person is cast forth as a branch. He's withered. He's gathered up. He's cast into the fire. They're burned up. Brothers and sisters, we must abide in Christ. That means that we need to stay put in our relationship. Sorry about that. We need to stay in that relationship if we are going to be the fruitful Christian that we're talking about this morning. We need to find our security and our satisfaction in Him. Recognize that life is found nowhere else. Now, before we close this morning, let's consider two things Jesus said. Two things Jesus said about the Word. He said, "Now ye are clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you." Now, I know that you agree with this, that we live in a dirty world. We live in a dirty world. It's corrupted. It's evil. We can't help it. We live here. We can't help it. When you were born, you were not born on the moon. When you're born, you're not born on that planet out there that they say there's probably one out there that has life on it. You weren't born on that one. You were born on this one. You can't help the fact that you're here. We live in a corrupted, evil society. We can't help it. Here we are. But Jesus says, "You are clean through the Word, which I've spoken unto you." Just living here has a corrupting influence on us. Just living here. I am corrupted by this world simply by the virtue that I live here. I can't help it. It's here. It's all around me. Not only is the world around us evil and corrupt, but also I have sinful cravings. It's almost unfair, but I've got evil desires. And so the world mixed with my evil desires, I tell you, it's awfully easy for me to do evil things. And that's how the world lives. The world is corrupted and evil, and they have their own evil desires, so they just work together and bang, here we go. Live a wicked and sinful life. But we need to be cleansed. We need cleansing. We need spiritual cleansing and protection. In your life, what do you focus on? What is the focus of your mind, the focus of your heart and life? What will you choose to focus on? The world is dazzling. The world is dizzying. The world can seem dynamic and captivating and alluring. And the world does a great job of marketing itself continuously. Marketing, bright lights, excitement. And Christians sitting in plain, I won't call this church a boring place, but our surroundings are not so dazzling at times. And you know, the world can look pretty alluring. But what are you focusing on? I'll tell you what, every day of your life, every day, listen. Every day of your life, you need to be in this book. Every day. You are cleansed through the Word. You need to be here. And you know what? When your mind and your heart is saturated with this, you look out there at the world, what they're offering, you say, "Nah, I'm not interested. Something better here. This is better than what they got. It doesn't have flashing lights. It doesn't quite look so exciting. But I tell you what, it is better. It is exactly what you need. It is satisfying to your soul. It is nourishing to your heart. This is what you need." You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the world around you don't got it. But I tell you what, if your relationship with Jesus Christ is lacking, the world around you might look kind of alluring. Focus on a personal relationship with Jesus. Cleansing of the Word. One more thing. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you." Wow, that sounds great. That's a ticket to have whatever I want. No, it's not that. He says, "If ye abide in me," that means you're in a personal relationship with Jesus, "and his words are abiding in you," guess what's going to happen? You are going to be transformed into the likeness of God himself. So that what you're asking for will be consistent with what he wants. Okay? That's how he can say this. Because you've been changed. You've been transformed. And so your desires are consistent with God's desires. And so, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, be a fruitful branch. Be a fruitful branch. Live in a connected relationship with Jesus. Fruit is what God is expecting from your life. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the clear words of Jesus to our lives here today. We thank you, Father, for the life that Jesus possesses. And we thank you that that life can flow into me, and it can flow into each one of us as we live in a connected relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that we would spend time in your word. I pray that we would allow it to permeate our hearts and our minds. I pray that we'd be cleansed by it. I pray that you'll replace our desires for carnal things with spiritual things. I pray that we would know you personally, that we would love you higher, more than anything else in this world, and that we would allow your spirit to empower us to live in obedience to your word. I pray that we would be fruit-bearing Christians here today, that we would live in obedience to your word, to your spirit. Lord, that we might bear much fruit, and Lord, that we would prove ourselves to be your disciples by doing that. So bless this church, Father. I pray that we would each continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.